How would you describe the two disciples who were walking on this road to Emmaus, this village outside of Jerusalem? How would you describe yourself if you had just witnessed all those events of Good Friday, when our Lord was crucified, and then the events of Easter Sunday morning, when the tomb was empty, and all the reports of the women who had gone to that tomb? Perhaps you would describe your emotions as sorrowful, confused, even discouraged. We find that discouragement in these two disciples. So we hear of how they were downcast. Also, when Jesus approaches them, they said that we were hoping. So past tense, we were hoping. So they've lost hope. It's almost as though they're closing a chapter on their life. They're walking away from Jerusalem, not just the physical city, but really the place of where the apostles are, where all these events of salvation history have taken place. They're walking away. Nevertheless, unbeknownst to them, our dear Lord appears to them. He talks with them. He asks them questions. He then asks them about the scriptures and what has happened. Then our Lord takes the time to open the meaning of the scriptures to them. He shows how all the prophecies have now been fulfilled. What he has suffered, what the Messiah has suffered, was foretold by Isaiah, Jeremiah, the other prophets. And now it has come to fulfillment. With this, their hearts begin to burn. Our Lord is going to walk away. And yet these two disciples say, stay with us. So they invite him to be with them. There we hear of how Jesus shares a meal with them. This breaking of the bread, always really code words for the Mass. With that, their eyes are opened. They recognize him for who he is. He disappears. Nevertheless, the hearts are burning. They have been fed by both the Word of God as well as the Holy Eucharist. They go back. They go back then to announce to the apostles what has happened. Here they are affirmed because Jesus has also appeared to Simon Peter. So with that, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this beautiful gospel passage for today, we have to remember that even though we're in this very difficult time, and even though we may be separated because of the physical conditions in which we live, we are united together. We are in that spiritual communion. So we are united not only with our risen Lord, but with each other through faith and grace, also with all the angels of saints. Even though you may not be physically attending Mass in one sense, in another sense you are. We are linked together in this Holy Mass. We come here then for this Mass to be with our Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your shoulder and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Your souls will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Therefore, just like these two disciples, we must not lose hope. We must gain hope in Christ. Even though for some of us our hearts may be heavily burdened, not just because of the circumstances of the day, but for other reasons. Perhaps there's health issues, or there may have been a death in the family, there's financial problems. Nevertheless, we can come and know our Lord is with us. This is what's so beautiful about the Holy Mass. Again, when we look at this gospel passage, we have to recognize right away the basic structure for the Mass that we have had, that we have celebrated since the time of the apostles. So when we consider Mass, we begin by gathering together. We have what are called the introductory rites, where we joyfully lift up our hearts in song. Then we call to mind our sins, asking for forgiveness. Granted, this does not replace the importance of the sacrament of penance, which is truly necessary for mortal sin, but nevertheless, we're disposing our soul to be free of sin and truly united with our Lord. We give praise to Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, through the Gloria. And then we collect our prayers as one in that opening prayer, officially called the Collect. From there, we move to the liturgy of the Eucharist. So our Lord opened the Scriptures to these two disciples. This is the living Word of God. Every Sunday, we have a first reading, which is usually an Old Testament passage, but like an Easter season, sometimes from the New Testament, like Acts of the Apostles, as we heard today, followed then by a psalm, followed by an epistle, followed by a gospel. Consider that if we really looked at 3 years of Sunday Mass and combine that with daily Mass readings, you and I would be covering probably about two-thirds of sacred Scripture every 3 years. For this reason, then, take this to heart. I would encourage you, before coming to Mass, to read the Scriptures for that day, so that they aren't just hearing, you aren't hearing words for the first time, but the words you do hear are familiar, and thereby they can take root in your life. As we read the words here at Mass, I encourage you to follow along. For myself, I learn better when I'm not just listening, but I'm also seeing that written word. From there, then, you have the wonderful homily from yours truly. So here, my job is to explain these Scriptures, to also give you a catechesis, a teaching about what we do believe. This isn't my own personal opinion. This is the teaching of our church that has been handed on to us. From there also, I am called to apply it to day-to-day life, whether it's our present circumstances or there's other circumstances that we face. Your job is to take it to heart. St. Paul said, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may judge what is God's will, what is good, what is pleasing, what is perfect." St. Paul is saying, take this word to heart, this living word of God, and live by it. This is the way we find the path of right living. This is the way we live by the truth that God has revealed to us. And this is the way we can live our life as one who is made in God's image and likeness and has now been baptized with that name, Christian. From there, then, we then profess our faith. We offer our petitions. That's all called the liturgy of the word. We move then into the liturgy of the Eucharist. The priest is going to offer the sacrifice that participates in the everlasting, ever-present sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The priest, by virtue of ordination, with apostolic authority that has been handed on to him, acts in the person of Christ. This is most evident at the words of consecration. Here, you'll notice that the priest shifts from third person to first person, past tense to present tense, to emphasize that it is not the priest so much who is speaking, it is Christ who is speaking through his priest. When the words of consecration are pronounced, that bread and wine is truly transubstantiated into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Christ comes to dwell within our hearts through the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. By this time, then, my brothers and sisters, having heard God's word, having received the Holy Sacrament, our hearts should be burning. We should know Christ is with us. Again, despite the circumstances in which we live, our spiritual communion, by God's miraculous work of grace, will bring us that burning heart. How wonderful it is to know Christ is with us. From there, then, having received Holy Communion, we move to the last part of the Mass, the concluding exercises or rites. Here the priest gives the final blessing, and he says, go forth, the Mass is ended. Remember, though, it's really not ended, because from this point we go out, not to close a chapter on our life for the week and say, well, that's it, but rather to walk with Christ. There's the key. To know that Christ is walking with us. If we live by his word and we live by his sacrament, we should have no fear. Rather, we're called to live in hope, knowing he is walking with us. I think of how about 10 years ago now, when Iraq had been overrun by the ISIS caliphate and all of that, that Father Raghid Khani, K-A-N-I, of Baghdad was assassinated outside of his church. Shortly before that, like about 2 weeks, he was giving a talk, and he was talking about the difficult situation in which they were lived. He said, yes, we live in fear, but when I offer Mass and say, this is my body, this is my blood, and I hold Jesus in my very hand, saying, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. I know Jesus is with us. He will strengthen us and remain with us. Yes, Father Khani was martyred, and his cause is now up for canonization. But nevertheless, here's the great faith that we have because of the Holy Eucharist. We have no fear. We have hope. Christ is with us. Now, despite the fact that we are physically separated on these Sundays right now, again, that spiritual communion is important. We are joined with our Lord, with each other, with all the angels and saints. Take comfort in that. I think this is a good time, too, to better appreciate what Mass is. For instance, I had a father write to me, and he said this, just an excerpt, I truly miss the Holy Eucharist. I attended Mass 3 times this week on television, and I received God's grace upon me and felt his presence each time. I was in his very presence. I think of all those people who live by his word and yet have never experienced the Holy Eucharist as I have in the past. I want the life I had with Christ in Holy Communion back soon. We pray for our reconciliation and reunion with Jesus and to be reunited with the Church stronger than ever. Along those lines, having that beautiful inspiration, several families have emailed pictures of their homes, and they set up like a little altar near the television where they're watching right now. They set up like little pews and so on. Some have said that their families are actually more engaged because they actually have to say the different responses. Also, some have said they can relax better, not meaning you're lounged out in a nice comfortable chair, but relax in that you don't have to think about, oh, well, we have this, 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 and this to do on Sunday. It's become more God's day. It's become a day to spend with our Lord and then to really be a family. This is what we need in today's circumstances especially. But again, let's make sure that having received this beautiful grace, we walk with our Lord, and we help others walk with our Lord. Here again is the opportunity for you parents to better teach your children about the Mass, to pray as a family together and strengthen those spiritual bonds, here is the opportunity to reach out to your neighbors, not just by doing good charitable works, like making sure the elderly have enough food or just making sure they're okay, but rather to really speak about the faith. For you young people especially, you have the great opportunity to bring faith to your friends, friends that may never have even been baptized, who may not even know who Jesus is except a historical figure. They're probably asking questions. Their hearts may be downcast right now. They may have lost hope. You can be Christ's instrument if you walk with Him and allow Him to walk with you and work through you. An interesting image came to my mind as I was going through my homily last night. And I had this picture of Satan approaching Jesus. And Satan said, "Ha! I and my minions have closed your churches." And our Lord said back to Satan, "Oh, on the contrary, my church is still open. I live in the hearts and the homes of the faithful. And one day, they will reopen the doors of my church. You can never conquer." My brothers and sisters, love the Mass. And let the Mass be the foundation for your life. And through God's Word and the gift of the Holy Eucharist, know the presence of Christ. Let Him dwell in your hearts and your homes. Let Him walk with you each day. May God bless you.